We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
On today's episode of the Pride Podcast, we have our final 53-man roster predictions. We're going to break down each position. And then we're going to talk about some guys who we think is going to make the roster. And we're going to talk about some guys who we think is not going to make the roster. All on episode 188 of the Pride Podcast.
Blue Wire. With the seventh pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the Detroit Lions select Penei Sewell, tackle, Oregon.
Straight in! Jared Goff!
Carr! Touchdown, yes! Detroit Lions! TJ Hawkinson!
Yes!
They did it! They tied it! They're an extra point away from winning this game! Oh, baby, how big is that?
Yo, what is going on, guys? Welcome back to the Pride Podcast, episode 188 on the Blue Wire Network. I am your host, Tyler, joined by my main guy, as always, Pierre. How are you doing today? No Malcolm with us today, but how are you doing today, Pierre?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing well, man. We're recording late Sunday night before the official cuts have happened. So we're going to do one more 53-man prediction. It's going to be similar to our last episode when we did our 53-man predictions, but we got a couple changes from the last preseason game and some words that Dan Campbell and the coaching staff has changed. So we've changed our predictions up a little bit. This is going to be our final prediction episode, and then we will react to the official 53-man predictions that Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell established, and we'll talk about that in our next episode. But for this episode, me and Pierre just going to break down our 53-man predictions. Let's just get right into it. So let's talk about the quarterback position. Obviously, Tim Boyle got hurt in this game, and Dan Campbell said he's going to miss some time. So I'm interested, are there any shakeup at this quarterback position, or is it the same three guys for you?
It's the same thing, but I wouldn't be shocked if, like, once they have their initial 53-man roster set and they claim a guy, they put Tim Boyle on IR.
Yeah, I agree. So we have to mention this. I think we mentioned this last episode, but if you place a guy on IR right now, it means they're probably going to be out for the they're out for the season, right?
They're out for the season, yeah.
Yeah, so you can't have that three-week, you know, timeline compared to when the season starts. There's a three-week timeline that they could return. That's the earliest they could return. So if the Lions have Boyle in their initial 53, they could then place him on IR. He would only miss 3 weeks. Rather than if they placed him right now, let's say they placed him like right now at this exact moment, he would be out for the whole season. So I think the Lions would be patient, wait till the cut line, make him on the initial roster, and then place him on IR. And then maybe, you know, you bring back one of those quarterbacks that you had in camp, Jordan, what's the last name?
Te'amu.
Te'amu, yeah. So maybe they bring him back, put him on the practice squad. I think that, or, you know, we'll see. I think they'll bring someone on their practice squad probably, and then they'll use that 53-man spot maybe in a different position, but we'll see. But I agree with you. I got all three quarterbacks making it. It's just now a shift of David Blau is now the backup quarterback and probably will be activated on game days, and Tim Boyle probably likely going on IR. But, all right, let's go to running back because I think there's going to be some shift up here. Do you have any movement on the running back position?
Yeah, we have some changes. So DeAndre said Jamal Williams are the locks. And then we have Jamar Jefferson as running back three. And then Greg Reynolds is out. Godwin, Igwe by UK is in.
Yeah. Yeah, I got the same as well. What about Godwin, the former safety from Northwestern? What about his performance, made you change that prediction from Craig Reynolds?
Well, first, during Campbell's presser, he's like, he said when Godwin plays, like, he's waving a flag, say, hey, I'm here, look at me. And then I thought he also had some special teams value too. He was solid as a returner as well. Versus Craig Reynolds, like, we didn't really see much with him returning the ball.
Yeah, I agree with that. And we were talking about it too, because a guy that we maybe expected to be a returner, like Khalif Raymond, we're now expecting Khalif Raymond to have a bigger say in this offense than we much more expected when we signed him initially. We thought we signed him, this would probably be your back end receiver, maybe wide receiver 5, wide receiver 6, and then from there, you know, you could just put Raymond in the kick and punt returner role. But now Raymond was the second most impressive wide receiver, arguably, that we saw in camp, and now he's listed as wide receiver 2 going into the season. So, you know, that changes up so much of what the roles were. So now you look at, we might have to find another kick and punt returner, and that's maybe where Godwin Abuki,
Igabayuke,
maybe steps in here, and maybe he fills in that role as a kicker and punt returner. We'll see. But I agree with you. I think Godwin now makes his team, and I think what you mentioned, the special teams ability, is going to give him the edge over a guy like Craig Reynolds or a guy like Jedrick Mills. So, because those guys obviously didn't do much on special teams, so that's why I think it gives him the advantage. So, all right, going to fullback. There's only one fullback in camp. Has this changed for you, Jason Kamenda, on this team or not?
He's still in.
Yeah, me too. I don't think we need much explanation. Jason Kamenda makes this football team. All right, now this was the most interesting group on this team, the most shakeup, you could say. There's a lot of interesting things. You can go a lot of different routes with this. So the wide receiver spot, how many wide receivers you got? Any change up?
We have 5, and again, Rashard Perriman had 3 targets, 2 drops. Or was it? Yeah, 3 targets, 2 drops. So, like, I don't see him making it. But the wide receivers we have are the same thing. Tyrell Williams, Khalif Raymond, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Quintez Cephas, and Tom Kennedy. Cephas and Kennedy, I feel like, are not locks either. Like, if they have a guy they want to claim or something, they could. I could see them claiming him and dropping one of those guys.
I thought Quintez Cephas had some good moments in this preseason, though. I think he's looked like a more NFL receiver so far in this preseason than we've seen from last. I know it's different competition. You know, it's going against some lower guys in the depth chart, but I think Quintez Cephas should make this team. Just with the, you know, his age, where he's at right now, you got flexibility with the contract. Still got 3 more years, including this year. So you got 3 more years with Quintez Cephas under contract. I think this is a guy you should try to keep on your roster and develop, because I don't think he showed any flashes where, you know, he just didn't look like an NFL receiver, didn't look good. I think Quintez Cephas looked good enough. I think he should be a lock. With Tom Kennedy, man, that's tough. I had him in my last 53-man predictions. I switched it up a little bit. So I got the same guys as you. I got Tyrell Williams, Khalif Raymond, St. Brown, Cephas. So in the last one, I had Rashard Perriman and, I believe, Tom Kennedy. And this one, I don't have either one of them. I now plugged in Geronimo Allison. And this is This is a sneaky one, and I think a bit of a surprise. I don't think many Lions fans would expect Geronimo Allison to make this team right now. It was something from the broadcast and just coming from Campbell's mouth saying Geronimo Allison's just kind of been working in, you know, quiet right now. Like, you know, he's not been a flashy guy in camp, but he's doing his stuff in quiet. And I thought he had some good moments in that last game versus the Colts. I think he also offers some versatility as a wide receiver to play the outside and the slot. Unlike a Tom Kennedy, he's only a nickel wide receiver, where Allison, you have versatility. You could put him on the outside. You could put him in the nickel.
Defense.
Yeah. I like the versatility that Allison offers. He's a veteran as well, so this is a very young receiving core. You got only Tyrell Williams. You got Khalif Raymond, who's not an established veteran. He's been on a bunch of different teams, but Tyrell Williams. And then after that, you got rookies. You got St. Brown. He's a rookie. Cephas is only a second year, really young receiver. I think bringing a guy like Geronimo Allison brings some nice veteran experience. So I put him on my 53-man roster this time instead of Perriman, who I thought he was more impressive than in this camp, and over Tom Kennedy as well, which, you know, I thought it was interesting because, you know, the way they treated Tom Kennedy in that last game, you might have thought that he was a lock, and he might be, because they didn't play that much. And even Campbell, when asked that question, saying, we know what we have in Tom Kennedy. You know, I think it brings up interesting questions. Does that mean he's a lock to make this team, or was he not trying to show more of his ability where maybe he can clear waivers and you can stash him on the practice squad? I don't know where this goes with Tom Kennedy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how good I feel about not putting Tom Kennedy on this list, because he was a beast this, you know, this camp and preseason again. So we'll see if he earned a roster spot. But right now I'm going to give the nod to the veteran Geronimo Allison, who I didn't think I would ever do. But I'm giving the nod to Geronimo.
Okay.
All right. Let's transition to tight ends. How many tight ends you got? Last time, I believe you had two or three. I don't remember.
Three. Last time, we had three.
Did you have Elise Mack in there?
Yeah. So now we only have two tight ends, and I'll explain my reasoning. We have TJ Hockenson and Darren Fells. We talked about Tim Boyle earlier, and then later on, we'll talk about Logan Stenberg and Deshaun Handles, our other guys, to go on IR. So you'll have some roster spots open. I think they'll claim a tight end. Also, risk-case scenario, Jason Cabinda, like, he's played some H-back in training camp, so he could do that. And also, you could carry one of these guys on your practice squad, Elise Mack or Brock Wright, whoever they want. I just don't feel like they showed enough for me to be tight end three on this team.
Yeah. In my last prediction, I only had both these guys as well. I only had Hock and Fells. So, again, this game didn't really do much for me to change my prediction to put one of these guys on that 53. And you mentioned the versatility that they're going to have. Like, you're going to have some IR candidate guys like Boyle. You're going to have maybe Deshaun Han, Logan Stenberg, who ended up getting hurt in that game as well. So maybe they bring that flexibility and use it to that tight end position, you know, depending on guys who got waivered. Interesting. I want to ask you now, from that tight end position for the tight end three, do you think they would value more of a blocking tight end or more of a receiving tight end?
I think, honestly, just the guy who could produce. I don't think they probably want a blocking one more because they want to run the ball.
Yeah.
But if a guy could produce, they'll take it because those two guys didn't show much, right? And Mac, they just didn't show much. There's that kid that Josh sprung up.
Tanner Hudson.
Yeah. The kid from the Bucks. So he's a name to watch.
Yeah. I believe he said he wasn't much of a blocking tight end, more of a receiving.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you look at this receiving core, you're going to need some production as well. So maybe the Lions do go towards a direction of more receiving type tight end. But I agree. I think they're just going to bring the guy who they think could do both at a somewhat high level, right? So I don't know if they value either one, if that's like where they go on a separate, you know, preference, like, oh, we need a blocking guy, we need a receiving guy. I think it's just a guy who they think that could, you know, do both at the highest level, whoever's available. Because I don't think Mack was productive at all as a blocker. And Brock Wright just didn't really show much. I believe only had that one catch versus the Colts, but overall just wasn't a big, you know, camp spotlight for Brock Wright. So we'll see. I don't think either of those guys earned the nod to make the 53. So I'm going to stick with you. I got Hock and Fells.
This is Lou Groza of the Cleveland Browns. Hi, Ohio for Cleveland.
Being a Lions fan isn't always the easiest. But hey, you know who has it just as bad as us? The Browns. On Blue Wire's new podcast, Brownstown, Cleveland sports broadcaster and long life fan Andre Knott dives deep into the dog pound to explain how a franchise can suck for so long in a league designed for parody. If tragedy plus times equals comedy, the Browns are gut-blessing hilarious. Hear from the famous and infamous voices of Cleveland Browns like Jim Donovan, Brady Quinn, Tim Couch, Romeo Cannell, Josh Cribbs, TJ Ward, Phil Savage, and many, many more. The fans themselves explain what it's like to sit through the worst bits of Brown history. Make sure to tune in to Brownstown on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
But let's go into offensive tackles now. So last time we had Decker, Penei Sewell, Terrell Crosby, Matt Nelson. Has any of that changed for you?
That's the same thing.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think that one needs much explanation. Terrell Crosby ended up playing that game versus the Colts, which we didn't expect him to play.
Right.
Gave up a sack, a little rusty.
Looks like he was rusty, yeah.
A little rusty. I mean, Terrell Crosby, it seems like he's always a little rusty coming into camp. Even 2019, when the preseason games, he wasn't really good. It seems like it was just a bit of early struggles for Terrell Crosby. Not much, but worry. Still think he's the first option. If one of these tackles were to go down, I think he would be for sure the guy to step in. But I got a question for you now. I know we're talking about our 53-man predictions, but the team that we just played, the Indianapolis Colts, they had two injuries to their offensive line and two offensive tackles. Sam Tevy got carted during that game. Eric Fisher, I believe, is hurt right now for them, is expected in a significant time. Are you fielding calls on Terrell Crosby right now?
Something with Tevy, though, Tevy wasn't the starter for the Colts even when Fisher was out. He was like on the roster bubble with Indy.
Okay.
So I know there was like I believe it was Woj, right?
Wojo, yeah.
Yeah, Wojo, yeah. I believe it was him who tweeted that out. I'm not really a fan. Did he bring up Decker? I'm not a fan of Trey Decker. But even Crosby, I want Crosby to be here long term.
Okay.
Like, I want him as he's very valuable. He probably would want to start, though. He probably would explore something different. Like, he'd want to start, so I think he'd explore something else. Right now, I don't think it's a good idea to trade him, bro, because you have Penei Sewell, who's struggling a little. He's a rookie, and that's fine. We've talked about that a lot on this show. Then you have Matt Nelson, who's kind of like not, I don't know, I don't like him at left tackle. I don't know. So you're kind of like, what do you have there? And Crosby could also play guard as well. I think he's too valuable for this team to trade.
I bring that up just because it's a contract year for Terrell Crosby.
It is.
And you just mentioned that he might be looking for an opportunity where to start. And you look at this Lions offensive line, not even just this year, going to next year. I mean, it's pretty set. It's pretty set in stone right now, and I don't really see much of a starting role for Crosby anytime soon unless an injury does happen. So I bring the question now. Let's say, hypothetically, Taylor Decker gets hurt. Do you swing Penei Sewell to left tackle, or do you put Terrell Crosby there?
I don't know what I think the Lions would probably put Terrell Crosby there because they want to develop Sewell as a right tackle,
right?
Like, that's what they drafted him for. Say they put him at left tackle, and say he balls out, then Decker comes back. Then we'll have some controversy. Do we start Decker? Do we start Sewell? Would Decker want to play right tackle? If not, would we trade him? You know, it would cause a lot of controversy in that room.
Yeah.
I'll say this, though. During the deadline, like, say the Lions aren't playing real well or, like, they're not, like, whatever. I could see them sell at the deadline, and maybe Crosby could be a player that could be traded at the deadline. Yeah.
Okay. But right now, I mean, okay, let's say Dan Skipper doesn't get hurt. Are you more comfortable with trading Crosby?
I'm not going to lie. So we used to laugh a lot about Skipper. Like,
but he was solid after those. After that first game.
Game.
Yeah. But maybe, he ended up getting carded.
Maybe you explore that.
Yeah.
Maybe you explore that. Right now, bro, there's nothing. Maybe on the waivers, if they like a guy, they could claim him. Maybe they want to shop Crosby, they could. You know, I don't know. I could see them shopping Crosby because he was on the block, like, before the draft, right? Or after the draft?
Yeah, it was right after the draft. Yep. So
I'm
just thinking about it, man. Like, if you get a day two pick offered to you for Terrell Crosby.
Day two for Crosby? I don't see that.
But if you get that, like, let's say a team gets desperate.
Oh, yeah. If you have a second or third round pick, you have to trade him.
Yeah. Like,
I think more like a fifth, sixth, maybe you'll get.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think it's valuable to do that at that point. But if you get a fourth rounder, which I know is a day three pick, but if you get a fourth rounder or lower for Terrell Crosby.
I would ship it too. I
would consider it. And I wouldn't be shocked if a team gets desperate. Wouldn't be completely shocked. Because you know how teams are, especially those teams that think they can compete or are contenders. Yeah. You know, if you need a tackle, that's a very important position. It's not going to be a cheap price either. And Terrell Crosby's been a proven guy. So it's a name I would consider, man. Even Dave Burkett mentioned that. I think I saw a tweet. He's like, if the phone rings on Terrell Crosby, you got to pick up and just see what's going on.
You got to listen for sure. But, like, Like you said, like it would have to be like a intriguing offer.
Yeah,
too.
No, you're not going
to
just.
You don't want to say it for a conditional pick.
No. You're not
like
selling
a conditional Terrell Crosby. Six or seven or something.
You're not selling Terrell Crosby just to sell Terrell Crosby. But right. If there's an offer there and a team is interested, like significantly interested, I'm not against it. Not against it at all.
Yeah.
And maybe you place, you know, maybe have Dan Skipper make the initial roster and put him on IR. I don't know. We'll see. Okay.
Yeah.
That, I like that, a little intermission. But let's go into some interior offensive linemen now. So last time we had Frank Reich, now Jonah Jackson, Vitae, Logan Stenberg, and Evan Brown. Has any of that changed for you?
It's the same, but I think Stenberg is a candidate to go on IR, and maybe they bring back Tommy Kramer, or maybe they claim someone else. So that's
something you're gonna... Yeah, I thought Tommy Kramer looked solid in camp so far in those games. I wouldn't say anything significant to have a role. But if Stenberg were to go on IR, make the initial 53 and then go on IR, I don't see Kramer getting claimed by another team. So maybe you just put Kramer on your 53 or you claim another guy from a different team. But Kramer has obviously familiarity just with being the team during camp. So, you know.
Or what you could do, like, you know, on game days, the rule are like you have certain like offensive linemen available.
Yeah.
You could carry them from the practice squad onto the active roster.
Yeah,
that's like you could also do that. You could play that game too if you don't want to carry him on the roster and say he makes your practice squad, and you could protect him if you really like him because you could protect like five players. So that's another thing that Detroit could look at.
Yeah, I think he's going to be one of those practice squad candidate guys. I think they liked him. I thought he showed some flashes to you know, try to carry and develop, honestly. So I like Tommy Kramer. Okay, that's the offense. Let's get into the defense now. So let's start off with the outside linebackers. So your edge rusher, so you're like Trey Flowers, Romeo Okwara. So last time we had a little different. So you had Trey Flowers, Romeo Okwara, Austin Bryan, and Julian Okwara. That's what I had. And last time you had Trey Flowers, Romeo Okwara, Charles Harris, Julian Okwara. Has any of that changed for you?
Yeah, except Austin Bryan is in. So I have both of them, Austin Bryan and Charles Harris, making the roster. I just think that like you can't have too many pass rushers, and those guys have both played well. And like where the Lions roster is right now, it's okay to like not have depth to other areas. You just need talented players. So the more talent you have, the better, even if it affects other areas on the depth chart.
So I didn't have Charles Harris in my 53 this time. I had him, I had him last time, but I didn't have him in this one. So last time I had it just like you had all five of them. But this time I let go of Charles Harris. But I think you bring an interesting point. I mean, Charles Harris, to a certain degree, he's still a young player. Like, I know he's hopped around a couple teams already. He's already hopped around from the Falcons. He was drafted by the Dolphins. That's a former first-round pick as well. I'm not saying he's shown like he's flashes like a first-round pick by any means, but I mean, I thought he had some nice flashes during these preseason games. He got pressure to the quarterback multiple times, getting to the backfield. I don't see a disadvantage with carrying a Charles Harris, and I think we mentioned it in our green room after that Colts game. Maybe if they don't have a role for Julian Okwara right away, where they want to just develop him a little slowly, because that's just how Notre Dame was. It's just not really much pass rush moves, just a straight speed rush, where Charles Harris has more developed pass rush moves by now. Maybe you know, keep Okwara obviously in your roster, Julian, you develop him, but have a role for Charles Harris where you expected Julian Okwara. I wouldn't be shocked by that, but as of right now, I let go of Charles Harris, and I'm going to put Julian Okwara on that role I initially had him in, and that's like the 10 to 20% snaps a game. So I got four of them right now. But I see the benefit of keeping a Charles Harris. I definitely see the benefit of doing that.
He's also, his contract is fully guaranteed. I believe it's $1.75 million. It's fully guaranteed.
Yeah.
So
which is obviously not a huge let go if the Lions didn't want to roster him.
You just take the hit and move on if they don't want him. It's not a big deal. Or you could maybe like explore trading him. If they don't want him, you could possibly explore trading him as well.
Yeah, you said it. Pass rushers don't grow on trees, so, you know. There might be another team that needs a pass rusher right now. And he proved during this camp that he deserves, I think, to be on a roster somewhere.
Yeah.
He was good. Okay. Let's go into the interior defensive line. So last time, I think there's going to be some shifting around here. So last time we had Levi Onwuzurike, we had Aleem McNeil, Michael Brockers, Kevin Strong, Deshaun Hand, and who else do we have on here? Oh, right here. I got it right here. And we had, that was it. Was that it? Oh, and John Penasini. That's what I had. Okay.
All right.
Is there anyone? You had Bruce Hector on yours.
I had Bruce Hector. I took Bruce Hector out and I put Nick Williams in. It just feels like Nick Williams played in the first quarter, Adley, and then they took him out. So maybe he wasn't just healthy last time. I think he's going to be part of this team.
Yeah. What about Pennacini?
He's not in right now. I just haven't seen much from him. I mean, he could probably make it, but, like, he's a talented player. Don't get me wrong. I just don't have him on here right now.
I have Pennacini on mine, which I didn't have. Or I did have him last time, actually. Sorry. So I put him in twice. But I thought he was a fringe bubble guy. And I also plugged in Nick Williams this time, which I didn't have him at all. I didn't have another guy to replace him. I just went a guy short in this position. Kevin Strong, I think, earned the spot. I think he had a really good preseason. So I think he earned a roster spot. Deshaun Hand, we mentioned that he could be an IR candidate. So maybe he makes an initial 53. You place him on IR. So we'll see. Yeah. Maybe then that opens a spot for Bruce Hector. But Bruce Hector was not good that last game.
Well, his PFF score was high, but, like, when I watched, he didn't look that good, so I don't really know. I didn't go back and watch it, though. Like, when I was watching, they were running up the middle, and it was Hector and Brown in the middle.
Miles Brown, yep.
So they didn't look good, but PFF had, like, a 90-point-something for him or something like that.
Bruce Hector?
Yeah. I'm not going to go back and watch it, so just by the eye test earlier, he didn't look good, but.
And that game or in the preseason?
No, in that game, I think, something like that.
All right, folks, this is why I say don't use PFF as a Bible.
No, I don't know. Maybe, like, if we go back and watch it, we'll see him affecting some plays or against the quarterback. I don't know.
This I'm not going to watch it, though. This reminds me of the Colt or the Vikings game from 2 years ago when Kevin Strong got a PFF score of 90. And he just didn't do shit that game. He didn't do shit that game.
Okay.
See, this is why I say don't use – you could use PFF as a source, but don't use it like a Bible.
Yeah.
All right.
Now we're at linebackers?
Inside linebackers, yes.
All right, I changed mine up a little. So I only had four. I had Collins, Anzalone, Barnes, and Reason Maven. I added someone else. I added someone. No, I'm kidding. I added Anthony Pittman.
Oh, okay. I also had Pittman in my last one, but I didn't put Pittman in this time.
Because Pittman played actually the most, I believe the most special team snaps versus the Colts. I think the Lions want to see what he can do on special teams, and I think he contributed on special teams, so...
Don't you figure Jalen Reeves, maybe, and Derek Barnes are going to be the linebackers on special teams for this team, though?
But there's no depth, bro. Like,
you're right.
Carrying four linebackers is not a good idea. I feel like you need one more.
Yeah. I mean, they don't... I feel like they're going to initially cut Pittman, and then maybe he clears waivers, and when they place those guys on IR, maybe they bring him back.
That's possible as well.
I think that's where I'm more leaning towards right now because I can't put him on this initial 53 right now. But I could see a role where they carve, like, after they make their 53 and do all the transactions, maybe they make a spot for him after what we're looking at. Three IR spots, potentially Stenberg, Boyle, and Hand. That's three roster spots opening up.
Yeah,
I agree. Four linebackers is not safe. So I don't have Pittman making it initially. And I'm just going to say he clears waivers and the Lions bring him back on the 53.
Okay.
So, but right now I don't have them because we're counting guys we have to put on the 53 so they can place them on IR. So I'm going to leave out Pittman because the other guy just didn't really step up. Tavai, we talked about enough July. Tavai, he's not making this team. Tavante Beckett, just not really much.
He's practice squad. Yeah, like the way Campbell likes him, but he likes him for the future. He doesn't like him for this year.
Yeah, just not really much to put on the 53. So, okay. Let's go into the cornerbacks now. So last time we put Akuda, Amani Oruorie, AJ Parker, Mike Ford, Fatu Melifonwu, and you had Nicole Roby Coleman. I put Bobby Price, and I believe Malcolm also put Nicole Roby Coleman. Has any of this changed for you?
Yes, I took Nicole Roby Coleman out and I put Bobby Price. The reason why is Bobby Price is actually the starting gunner opposite of Mike Ford, and that's a big role like on special teams. And he could also, he's not good at it, but he's versatile. Like, special teams, safety, and corner. Like, he's not the best at safety and corner, but, like, when you need those emergency or, like he's a guy, like, you could put in. But it's not ideal for him to be on defense. Yeah, he's still developing.
You have six corners right now?
Yeah, we took NRC out. We put Bobby Price in.
Okay, so that linebacker spot that I didn't use or no, I put it on NRC. And... Okay. It's interesting because, you know, I've been talking about really lowly about NRC. It's not really that I'm high on Nicole Roby Coleman right now. It's just I think they need someone that nickel that could back up A.J. Parker. Because right now you got Okuda, you got Awuorie, they're going to be on your outside. You got Parker's going to start in your nickel. But we mentioned it, man. Mike Ford is – I mean, Dan Campbell's not really mentioning Mike Ford as that nickel corner anymore. Like we were expecting before. And Melifonwu is not going to play the nickel. And then, you know, Bobby Price ain't going to play the nickel. They need someone that's going to back up A.J. Parker, in my opinion, if he goes down. I put Nicole Roby-Coleman. He's got veteran experience. He knows Aubrey Pleasant. He knows this system somewhat because he's familiar with it. He's familiar with the DB's coach. So I gave the nod to Nicole Roby-Coleman. I honestly thought in the last game, Corin Elder played better than him. But I just think with the familiarity – I'm going to give the nod to Nicole Roby-Coleman, but Corin Elder has been in this certain, in this specific system for longer just because he was signed once free agency was signed. Like I think back in March or in May or in April, somewhere around that time, that's where Corin Elder was signed, where Nicole Roby-Coleman was just signed essentially yesterday, but in realistically like 2-3 weeks ago. So that's going to be a tough call. I wouldn't be shocked if they go out in the market and don't bring either of these guys, Elder or Nicole Roby-Coleman, and then maybe they go out and look at the waivers and see a guy who could help them on special teams and in the nickel corner. Because we mentioned it last episode in our green room, Dan Campbell said if, as far as his nickel corners, he mentioned Parker, Nicole Roby-Coleman, and Corin Elder just didn't really offer much on special teams. So is this enough? Did they prove enough as a nickel corner to make the roster? I didn't think Nicole Roby-Coleman really did, but I put him anyways. But I wouldn't be shocked if both Elder and Roby-Coleman are cut, and then maybe they bring a guy who can contribute on special teams and who can play the nickel corner. So I got Roby-Coleman in right now, though.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go into the safeties. I think this is really easy. Tracy Walker, Will Harris, Dean Marlowe, and CJ Moore. Any of that change for you? Any added guys?
That's what I got, too.
Yeah, I mean, we mentioned that Bobby Price is technically your fifth safety on game days if it ever comes to a situation. He offers the versatility. I think Bobby Price makes his team. I think we're both in agreement that Bobby Price makes his team just because of his role in special teams and his versatility.
Yeah.
Okay, going on to special teams. So.
Yeah. You want me to say it instead? I'll say it.
No, I got it.
Okay. You need some Kleenex? You're good today.
So we got kicker Randy Bullock, I think, making it, right? Are you agreeing there?
I wouldn't be shocked like if they like a kicker on waivers and they waive him because Bullock has been inconsistent.
Yeah, he didn't really do anything in preseason games outside of like 20 or 30 field goals.
And in training camp, he's been up and down. That's why they brought Zane Gonzalez and Gonzalez. I mean, we haven't seen much from him either.
That's possible, yeah. I feel like they're going to carry Bullock going into the roster, though. But you're right. Maybe if they find someone via trade, you know, Monday, you know, when all those cuts happen. When's the final rosters due? Tuesday
at 4. But, like, Dan Campbell said don't expect any moves until Monday. So I think the Lions will start their moves tomorrow.
Okay.
But the rosters have to be set until Tuesday at 4.
Tuesday, 4 o'clock, right?
Yep.
Okay. And then Thursday, that's when you could start signing guys. Is that, like, the former waiver wire Sunday, basically?
I think Thursday is the day where like you'll see if guys came on your team or not.
That's like the priority order and stuff, right?
Yep. Yeah.
So the Lions have the 7th priority in the the waivers wires right now because obviously they go from last year. So I think the first 3 weeks are what happened last year from the draft. Basically, it's gonna be like the draft order for the first 3 weeks. And after the first 3 weeks, it's gonna go on whatever the standings are currently in the NFL. So the Lions could be higher, lower, whatever, but initially right now it's going to be they're the 7th priority right now for any players on the waiver wire, any guys they put a claim on. So like let's say the Cincinnati Bengals and the Lions both like a guy and they both put a claim on it, the Bengals would get the guy because they have the 5th priority with the Lions 7th. Yep. So it just goes on whatever the draft orders, so just play like that.
Wait, even the Niners? So the Niners have the 3rd priority?
No. That's
original draft order, right?
Original draft order. So whatever the standings were last year. So the it would be the Eagle, or it would be the Texans originally the 3rd pick, because that was their pick initially. So the Texans have the 3rd priority right now. So not the draft order, but whatever the standings were last year.
Which I just want the listeners to understand that. Okay.
Yeah. So the Lions are still 7th.
Yep. Right.
Okay. So kicker Randy Bullock, punter Jack Fox, all agreements there.
Yeah.
And long snapper. Scott Daly.
Yep.
You know what? I'm mad right now. What Ford Field did on Friday night was so disrespectful.
What do they do?
So, you know, when they introduce the players, they usually go offensive players first, then maybe they'll get defense, then you get this.
Okay, I know where this is going.
They started off the fucking team introduction with Scott Daly. He was the first name introduced.
Yeah, he's your long snapper.
Whoever's idea that was, I want a word. I'm not happy with it.
He's your long snapper.
I'll respect to Scott Daly. All respects, kind of. But I just don't respect.
I'll be honest, bro. I haven't really seen an issue with him snapping the ball. I don't think he looks fine. And then also, like, he's athletic. He was running down the field. Like,
you had a long snapper for 20 years. And you disrespect him right away with Scott Daly as the first guy introduced?
Look, this is the thing, man. We talked about this before. Like, you just have to let go. You know, sometimes you have that one axe you can never get rid of.
This is what it feels like. Like, people say it was Stafford for them, or, I don't know, Golden Tate, or Jarius Slay, or Marvin Jones, whatever that may be. This one hurts me the most.
You have a Mulebach jersey or something?
I want one. I should be a whole Ford Field ceremony just for whenever they part ways with him. I still think that should be a thing. I think we should all gather at Ford Field, full house, and we should all watch his highlights over the 20 years he played for us. He deserves it. He deserves
it. You know what his highlights are? They're him snapping a ball.
Snapping a ball, yes.
Stop.
He deserves it.
Oh, my gosh. There's no highlights for a long snapper.
And the number 48 should never be worn, ever in a Lions uniform. That should be retired.
That might be like an unwritten rule, sort of. Like, 9 and 81 aren't retired, but no one could wear those right now.
Okay. And all real shit, someone's going to wear 48 again. That's not going to happen.
It might be an unwritten rule. Like, you don't know.
You think so with Don Mulebach?
It's possible.
I mean,
he was here forever, bro.
I mean, I hope. I mean, does anyone wear number 4? Or no one wears number 4, right?
Is it?
It's an answer number, but like, has anyone known?
What number is Bullock?
C4. Let me check.
I think he's 4 or 6 or something like that. I don't know.
I think he's 6. He's definitely something single digits. I want to check real quick. I was going to ask, has anyone wore number 4 since Jason Hansen?
Randy Bullock
is number 4.
He is number 4. Okay.
Okay.
All right, so maybe they don't do that with a specialist, but...
If Jason Hansen doesn't have an unwritten rule, I don't think.
Yeah. Okay. But no one better wear 9 and 81. Those numbers are off limits.
No, 81, I think people know that. I mean, you're just pulling a target on yourself if you wear number 81 as a receiver in Detroit. It's just a bad look.
You can't. It's like unwritten rule. I think even a player requested, like, no, you can't have it, dude.
Yeah.
Same with 9, I feel like. No one could wear 9.
Yeah, it's Stafford's been a Lion. I mean, for what, 12 years? I think he deserves it.
13 years, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he obviously doesn't get the respect, I think, as much as Kelvin Johnson as a player around the NFL. But overall, it would look really weird if someone were number 9 in Detroit outside of Stafford.
It would.
Even though he didn't win much here, it wouldn't feel right seeing someone else wear number 9. So I don't think anyone will wear number 9. 81, it's been like that for years already. No one's wore it. I thought if anyone were to wear it, you know, that number 81, it would be Anquan Boldin because that was his number in Baltimore. So I thought if anyone were going to wear that 81, it would be him. But even him, he wore, what did he wear, 18?
I forgot. I don't even know.
I don't even know what he wore, honestly. I can't remember. But he was a good player for us. But all right, that's off track. Donnie, I love you, buddy. Come on the podcast, dude. Be a host. Or come join us as a guest, man. We love you, Donnie. Or you know what? I would give my role for you, Don Mulebach. If you want to be the host of this podcast, I would give you my job.
Bolden was 80, by the way.
Okay, he was 80. You're right. That makes sense. No. Okay. All right. Well, got anything else, or is that it?
That's a wrap. Maybe we should tell them our schedule for, like, this week and next week so they know.
Okay, so yeah, we're obviously doing no Spotify Green Rooms this week because there's no Lions games this week. The Lions the whole NFL, not just the Lions, but got an extra bye week now. So usually the NFL season would start next Sunday, but now with the whole 18-week schedule now, now they start an extra week Sunday. So they're going to start September 12th. The Lions, so it's going to be their first Sunday versus San Francisco. We'll be back on Spotify to break down that the day of the game on Sunday. It might just be Malcolm solo because me and Peter will actually be at the game. So I don't think we'll be able to make that Spotify green room, but we're going to do a preview, a real preview with all three of us. We're going to have a special guest to help us with the Niners too. And we're going to do, after the 53-man rosters are made, we're going to do our reaction to what happened with the Lions roster with Campbell and Holmes' decisions. And then after that, this, the roster, I think Niners, right? It's game week, right?
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Game week. Yeah.
Yeah. So we got one more preseason episode of just the roster being filled out, and then it's game week. We're going to be breaking down the Liners and Niners. Wow. Wow, that's crazy. You got to get the film room ready. Here, you ready? You got to look at some last Niners
really,
film.
Man. I mean, that was like, bro, the Niners were rotating Lance and Garoppolo in and out of series.
I know. So we got to go.
That's back to it's going to be hard film. To defend if you're Aaron Glenn.
Yeah. Well, we're going to be bringing some Niners people in that we're all locked in for all three games. So that's going to be interesting as well to hear their perspective on it as well.
Yep.
Okay. With that being said, well, I hope you guys all enjoyed. Leave a 5-star review if you guys enjoyed, or if you didn't enjoy, still leave a 5-star review. It's always much appreciated. And I'm out, guys. Peace.
All right, guys. I'm out. Peace.